I have to admit to you that in my mind there has been a message that's been going in and out and around and through my mind through all of these weeks of my time going through the recovery from the surgeries and the experience there. And it's been interesting to sort of get a different perspective, because far too often, honestly, we choose a given passage of Scripture, something that relates to Christmas, but we fail to see the total picture. We fail to see how it all fits in together. Now, part of the prophecy conference with Jimmy DeYoung fit a lot of different pieces and things together and brought up a lot of questions and answered a lot of other questions, but still, do we just focus on, well, I'd be honest and have to say that Luke chapter 2 to me is one of my favorites. Maybe it was because I memorized it so many years ago and still love to quote it about the shepherds on the hillside, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And certainly there are other passages. But this morning I'd like you to sort of try to put the whole thing together on this Christmas day. Some messages you've probably heard before. Some scriptures you may not have thought about recently. But some things that would bring to mind a practical application for you and me right now, today, in 2016, as we celebrate Christmas on this day. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2 as sort of the backdrop for the words that I'd like to say, and it'll be our scripture reading, Titus 2, verses 11 through 15. And as this is God's Word, I invite you to follow along in your copy of the Scriptures as we worship our Lord with His Word. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Take a close look at those practical words that Paul gives as he writes this marvelous little epistle to Titus and to us. O Father, speak through Your Word to our hearts this day, that we might not just rush through the activities of another holiday or another Christmas season, but that we might be encouraged to relate to You, to allow You to speak to our hearts through Your Word, to allow You to minister through us to others, that no one would disregard us, but that we might reprove, exhort, and encourage with the good news that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has appeared and has made provision for all who trust You. We give You praise and we give You thanks for what You want to do, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was going through the recovery process, there were times I would watch the news. My wife said I needed to keep up with what was going on. And as I was doing that, I must admit that I got sick and tired of seeing that word, alert, 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 alert. Then this little thing scrolling across the screen, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. And I began to think, I'm listening to a stuck record. Because most of the time when it said alert on the screen, it was an alert that had been given 3 days ago. And I'd heard it yesterday. And I began to see the same interviews over and over and over. breaking news, alert. Have you noticed that? Then it comes up a time that it says alert, and it starts telling about tornado warnings. It's a little different kind of an alert, but that makes you sit up and take notice, especially when they show the pictures and the storm is close by and it becomes like breaking news. And you would think with all of those little vehicles that they have to go out and check that they could find out quicker and more sooner. That's a good word. In Oklahoma it is. But seriously, to think of an alert of breaking news. Then one night as I was going through the process where every 20 minutes this thing on the arm fills up, beep, 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 makes some beeps and deflates, taking your blood pressure. And I got kind of sick and tired of that thing, but knew it was helpful, knew it was beneficial because somebody would come in and read what it had said for the last hour. Alert, alert kept running through my mind. I don't want to overemphasize the point, but I would like you to notice something. The Bible is full of alerts about what we celebrate today. The Scriptures are filled with breaking news all through the Old Testament Scriptures and even into the New Testament. We find statements that gives God's heads up, if you please. God's alert, God's breaking news for what He is doing in history, for what He is doing to accomplish His purpose and plan, what He is doing to take care of the problem of sin. Do you ever think about the fact that that alert began way back in Genesis chapter 3? When God gave the promise that there would be a coming Messiah who would have victory even over Satan and over sin. Theologians call it the great proto-evangelicum, the first gospel. It was an alert given all the way back at the time of the Garden of Eden, at the time of man's fall. And God gave a heads-up alert of a process that He was going to enter into for man's salvation. And then God began to deal with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And through their lives there came repeated statements of alerts of things that God was going to do in making a provision of a land for the nation of Israel, for a constitution, and for the establishment of that which would provide eternal salvation. But those alerts kept coming. An alert like Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, where God gave promises of a child that would be born of a virgin, of one who would come for the salvation of mankind. In chapter 9 verse 14, it gave the words of the title of that person who would come, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. You ever take some time to meditate on those four titles? I love doing it while listening to the Messiah. And as Handel's great work goes through and speaks of the Wonderful Counselor. And to think about the one that provides counsel and direction. He's giving alerts all through the Scriptures. He brings that breaking news constantly to encourage and strengthen and prepare us. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's Mighty God. Not just anyone. Not just some hero. But the Mighty God. The One who is the Eternal Father. Who has no beginning and no ending and who puts it all together. It's an alert. It's breaking news. And it was in the words of the prophets 700 years before it took place. Now, I have to admit to you, as I was lying there in bed overnight thinking of that, I began to realize the timelessness, the fullness of the purpose of this one who gave the plan that he announced all the way back in Genesis, began to work it into Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's lives, began to work through the prophets in proclaiming that he was going to come as the virgin-born Son of God, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. And as I was thinking, Micah came to mind. The promise that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. How in the world would he get the situation set so that it would be in Bethlehem, the city of David? Relating to the promises that he had already given the alert to, that this would be the wonderful Counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace, the one who would be the Messiah, the one who would be the ruler, the one who would be the king on David's throne, promised hundreds of years before, and then accomplished when Jesus came on what we call Christmas morn. Always has been an interest to me that when he came, he announced first to shepherds. Lowly shepherds on a hillside. It's interesting to me to go back and to study the passages and realize that that was the shepherds' fields. Those were the fields where they prepared lambs that would be prepared for the Passover and for other sacrifices. They could be hurt. They could be harmed. They could injure themselves, and that's why shepherds wrapped them in what were called swaddling clothes. Shepherds, with their sheep, looking forward to the great Passover lamb. And when he came, the sign that was given to shepherds on how to find him, he'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Where would that take place? Near Bethlehem, in the fields where they prepared the sheep for the Passover and for the lambs for sacrifice. He came to be a servant. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It was an alert. Breaking news, it would be in Bethlehem. And isn't it interesting that the only way to get them down there was to use the government? They called for a census. A worldwide census for the then known world. And each man was to report to his own city, and Joseph went to the house of David. To Bethlehem, just a few miles from where one day he would be sacrificed on Calvary's cross. Wow. And it's another of those alerts that sometimes we read over and we may sort of categorize and catalog them and put it in a place in our memory, but we fail to see how it all fits in and goes back to that first alert. That he was going to provide that Redeemer, that one who would come, born of a virgin, wonderful Counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace, born in the little place of Bethlehem, the place told of in an alert and given with a message of breaking news. As you come to the New Testament, you discover in Matthew and in Luke especially special words that were given to Joseph and to Mary, where it was spelled out in more details. Can you imagine when Joseph got the alert? The gal to whom you are engaged is going to bear a son. conceived by the Holy Spirit. Going to come in a very special way. Imagine the alert, the breaking news that came to Mary that she was going to give birth supernaturally to a child. One who would be called Jesus, for He'll save His people from their sin. One who is Emmanuel, God with us. All of the news and all of the breaking reports that go with that in preparation for God's great message and God's powerful announcement of His continuing plan. Remember what it says in John 1:14? It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He came to tabernacle among us. He was given the alert that He would come to show us His grace, His mercy, and His love. And He came and dwelt among us. Have we hit your favorite passage yet? Certainly the Matthew and Luke passages are more familiar to us. Even the words of Isaiah and those prophecies given 700 years early, all given to show God's purpose and God's plan and what He was doing, breaking news. An alert that caused the Apostle Paul to write in Galatians 4, "At the right time, God sent His Son." Folks, I don't know that it's ever grabbed me quite this way before, but to begin to see the timelessness of the Scriptures and how it all relates together, all the way back to that little word in Genesis chapter 3. And at just the right time. Perfect timing. Hallelujah, what a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah, what a wonderful Lord. Hallelujah, what a unique and powerful and marvelous alert. The Scripture is full of prophecies and promises that God gave about the coming of Jesus, the Son of God. It relates to superior provisions. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews for a moment and notice a passage we don't usually think of at Christmas, but yet it helps to put it into perspective again. This one that we've been looking at, this one about whom has been given these alerts and the breaking news, is so special because of who it is. The one that He used, this Jesus, this Messiah, this one that was wrapped in the swaddling cloth, this one that was prophesied as being born of a virgin, the one who has the mighty names of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Who is He really? Look at Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets and in many portions and in many ways. You could almost practically summarize that as saying, God who has given all of these alerts and breaking news ever since Genesis 3. Now in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son. This one about whom the alert focuses. This one on whom Christ, or that God gave the purpose to come to save mankind. This one is the one that has spoken to us, has given us the alert, has given us the practical words. Notice it tells us about Him. He's appointed the heir of all things. This is not just anybody. The one whose birth we celebrate is the one who is the heir of all things. Everything's His. Don't you love Christmas with little children? Especially when they have their Christmas stockings and they all have pretty much the same thing in the stockings. It might be different colors. And yet you still will hear, "Mine." mine. Listen, Jesus is the heir of all things. He owns it all. But the writer doesn't end there. Notice it goes on to say, not only has He spoken to us in this one who's the heir of all things, He's the one through whom He made the world. Going all the way back to Genesis into the background of that first announcement, of that first alert. Jesus is the one through whom He made the world. But not only that, He is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of God's nature. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Notice all of those qualities that show His superiority. This one that began all the way back in Genesis 3, carried through the prophets, carried through the New Testament writers, all the way up to the time that the writer to Hebrews was writing. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. Oh, isn't that exciting to think about when He issues the order to sound the trumpet, to give the call. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up together to be with Him in the sky. The writer to Hebrews doesn't end there. He talks about His character in those first verses. And then he says something about His work. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. God never spoke that way to angels. God never spoke that way to anybody else in creation. But He did speak that of the superior Jesus Christ. The one who has the alert all the way back from Genesis 3. You begin to get my point? Repetitious a little bit maybe, but something that we don't often think about in seeing the whole perspective. It makes Christmas Day take on a whole new relationship with us. A whole new incentive. A whole new motivation. A whole new respect and worship for God's marvelous plan. Hallelujah, what a wonderful Savior. And what a wonderful Lord. Several years ago, during a devotional with one of our Awana clubs, I had a group of 10 to 12-year-old girls. Interesting little group of kids and very responsive and very attentive. And at the end of our little session, it was during the holiday season, just before Christmas time, and I just asked the simple question of the class, what would Jesus want for Christmas? It was interesting to hear their initial thoughts. And you know, little kids will begin thinking, but there's always one that's sort of sitting back there and you can tell they are really thinking about that one. What would Jesus want for Christmas? Finally, one little girl spoke up and she said, me. And everybody laughed. They all kind of giggled. But all of a sudden, it was almost like somebody hit them over the head with an alert. She went on to say, Jesus really wants me to love Him by trusting Him as Savior, and then to love others the way that He has loved me, and to tell others about Him. All of these alerts, all of this breaking news, tremendous theological truths all the way through, great Bible study all the way through, but a practical message that God really wants me. He wants you. He's made every provision so that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's because He wants you saved. He loves you. He cares for you. He won't force you into a decision, but He'll bring alerts, breaking news along the way of what His plan and His purpose and His desire really is. Makes you think again about those words in Titus chapter 2. When He tells us that we are to be purified for Himself, a people for His own possession, speaking and exhorting and reproving with all authority, and don't let anybody disregard you in the proclaiming of the good news, of the alerts and the breaking news that God has provided. You cannot help but be brought to an interesting little statement that talks about blessing. Said to be one of the greatest of all the statements of benediction or statements of blessing. I invite you to turn to it. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and following. Good words for today on this Christmas day and for this coming year. Numbers 6, 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. It's a message that goes beyond Merry Christmas. It's a message that goes beyond may the Lord really prosper you in this coming year. It wants to see God's total blessing. What's God's total blessing? Alert, Genesis chapter 3. Alert, Genesis chapter 12. Alert, breaking news, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9. Right on through to the passages that we've considered and to all of the other 350 some odd promises. That good news is available for everyone who hears. Because God wants to bless. He wants to bring you to the perfect state of completion in Him that only He can do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then allow Him to use you in communicating that love to others, in loving them and in loving God the way that God has described in His Word. Coming to Him and giving Him me. So next time you see that little sign that says alert, or you read that little scrolling gizmo that says breaking news, think about the most important of the breaking news and alerts that we have right here in God's Word. It ought to motivate us to be in His Word, to study it, and to apply it and put it into practice that others might see the alert, might come to understand the breaking news. Oh, by the way, I have one more alert, one more item of breaking news, and that is we're finishing early. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we thank You and praise You for the message of Christmas, the message of more than just a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, the message of one who had a purpose and a plan behind it all, an alert to sound, that You have provided a release. You have provided for forgiveness of sin. You have provided for a place being prepared for all who trust You. Oh, Father, may we heed the words of Your alerts. And may You use this message to encourage and to motivate and to strengthen our hearts to be that which You would have us to be for Your glory in these days. For we love You, and we praise You, and we thank You as we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.